When children can't live with their parents, other family members sometimes step in to take over full-time responsibility for their care. Experts say those kinship caregivers offer stability for children, allowing them to live with someone they already know at a time of uncertainty. But they don't always get the same support foster parents do, and a plan to boost financial assistance in Kentucky has stalled. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to discuss the resources kinship caregivers need and policy recommendations to support families are Kinship Families Coalition of Kentucky President Norma Hatfield. Thanks for being here, Norma.
Oh, I'm good to be here. Thank you.
The Buckeye Ranch Foster Care Director, Jessica Thompson. Welcome, Jessica.
Hi, happy to be here.
And Kathy, a kinship caregiver in Ohio. We're only using Kathy's first name to protect the privacy of the child in her care. Thanks for being here, Kathy.
Thank you for having me.
Kathy, I want to start with you. You care for your cousin's child, I believe. Tell us how and when you became a kinship caregiver.
I became a kinship provider almost 4 years ago. Roughly due to the fact that my cousin was not able to take care of her.
Hmm. And the child that is in your care now, it was just a little bitty baby at the time, right?
She was almost 5 months.
Oh my goodness. That's a busy time for a little baby.
Absolutely.
Did you feel like you were prepared? I mean, you didn't have children of your own at that point, did you?
Absolutely not. I was not prepared at all, but I wasn't going to. My cousin is more like my sister, so we're more attached than just cousins.
Mm. Well, I understand, Kathy, that your grandparents raised you for years and you spent some time in foster care yourself. Why was it so important to you to become a kinship caregiver when the need arose in your family?
Because going through the foster care system sucks.
Mm. Yeah. So what was it like to all of a sudden?
Children.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's absolutely tough on children. So I had a tough time. So I didn't want her to experience that being a small baby.
Mm. And what was it like to be a parent just right away?
Oh, it was absolutely tough. I had to figure it out. Because they know it's not any one-on-one parenting. It's just something you learn once you're there.
Yeah, for sure. Norma, you're a grandmother. In addition to your position as the president of the Kinship Families Coalition of Kentucky, you're also a grandmother who's been raising a couple of grandchildren for a number of years. Tell us about your experience.
Yeah, I've actually been raising two grandkids for over 10 years now. It's pretty common from all the families that I've talked to. Usually it's because drugs are in the home. That's what happened in our situation. There were drugs in the home and the children needed to be removed. And eventually we got permanent sole custody, my husband and myself. It's very challenging. And the words that I typically use are challenging, complex. You're afraid that you're going to mess up. You're dealing with, in my case, the family court system, and you're dealing with social workers, and you don't know what to expect and what they're looking for when they come into your home. And, you're worried that if you make one mistake, the kids are out and they're in foster care. And actually, in our case, that's what happened. They went straight to foster care. I was less than 10 miles away. And instead of us getting a phone call, they went to another county in foster care. And I had gone over to pick them up the very next day after they were removed. And that's how I found out. So then my husband and I went to social services, and then we had to go to court to get the kids in our care and then navigate the system, which was about 18 months until we got permanent sole custody. So there are a lot of things. You're in fight or flight. is how I look at that. Because you've got all of the adrenaline going. You want to get the kids. You want to make sure they're safe. You want to make sure you do all the right things. You don't know what to ask, what kind of questions to ask. You don't know what's out there. You feel very isolated a lot of times. There are a lot of challenges, but at the same time, it's worth it all. And caregivers that I've talked to said I wouldn't do anything different other than, take care of these kids, make sure they're safe, secure, give them lots of love. And, you do the best you can do.
And Norma, how common is that for children to be removed from their homes in Kentucky? I know that's where you're based, and placed in foster care without notifying grandparents or other family members.
Most of the time, somebody gets a call, but I have talked to some other caregivers that had a very similar situation. It just depends. I don't know exactly why we didn't get the phone call. In fact, back in, I want to say 2016, I talked to some folks that were in DCBS, the Department of Community-Based Systems, and I said, "You all need a checklist. You need to go through the paternal side of the family tree. You need to go through the maternal side. That gives you hopefully potential options so that you can find the best fit for the kids." I don't know that they ever did that, but that to me, that's an easy fix. We had some recent legislation that I worked on this past year, and in that bill, it actually gives a child a voice. It's Senate Bill 151, and it's been stalled. As you mentioned earlier, there's some legislation that's been stalled. But what the social worker is supposed to do is ask the child, "Where would you like to go? Who would you like to be with?" To give them a voice, but also to give us more options for the child.
Sure. And we're going to get into that legislation. Jessica, first, can you walk us through the difference between kinship care and foster care for people who aren't familiar with the terms?
Sure. So, kinship care in Ohio, we refer to it as a relative or anyone known to the family or the child. So, it doesn't have to be a blood relative or someone in the family. It could be a teacher, a friend of the family. But kinship care is really someone known to the child raising them. And so, there is a requirement anytime a child comes into care for the county to be searching for kin, not only for that initial placement, but throughout the time that the case is open. They never stop searching for eligible family members. And then foster care is typically when it's someone not known to the child. So someone from the community saying, "Hey, I know there are children in need in my community, and I would like to become a foster parent and be a safe place for that child."
We're talking about kinship care, the support families need, and the resources that Ohio and Kentucky provide for kinship caregivers. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. And Jessica, what's the difference in the kind of financial support families in Ohio can receive if they're providing kinship care versus foster care?
Yeah, so I'm going to use that word that was used earlier, complex. So there's a lot of complexity and a lot of layers to the different types of funding that kinship caregivers are able to access. But something that we've really been focused on is some kin caregivers are eligible to become licensed as a foster parent. And what we do know is there is a lot more financial support and some additional resources that are available if someone becomes licensed as a foster parent when they are already a kin caregiver. To be eligible, the child has to be in the custody of a county children's service agency in Ohio. But they would then be able to access that per diem support. And so there's been a lot of court cases about this in both Kentucky and Ohio, saying, if they're doing the same thing, they need to be compensated fairly and equitably. So that was Ohio's response to that, is that kin caregivers can become licensed, get access to those per diem supports, and then they also may be eligible for KGAP, which is 6 months after that placement. It's a subsidy, that they would receive until the child's 18 and in some cases until 21.
And what is the per diem typically? Does it vary depending on the age of the child and that sort of thing?
Yes. Yeah. So it varies based on the child's needs, based on the age, based on the agency, based on the county. So in Ohio, we're a county funded. So we have 88 different counties and 88 different budgets, right? So different ways of negotiating that. So there's a large range of funding, but it is definitely more than the $12 of a different type of kinship that they would get a day, the KSP payments that they would get. It would be more than that.
Mm-hmm. Norma, what about in Kentucky? Kentucky's system is different. It is not a county-run system. It's a state-run system, as I understand it. What kind of financial support are kinship caregivers like you eligible for?
Well, for me, I'm not really eligible for much because of the timing. We didn't have, back in 2014, we didn't have the option to become, you know, kinship foster parents. But what we have in Kentucky now is that you can potentially become a foster parent, a kinship foster parent, and you get approximately $700 a month in assistance for the child, and it varies a little bit. It may go up if the child's needs are more, if there's any disabilities, things like that are a factor in that. And if you don't get that option for the kinship foster, then you could potentially apply for KTAP. That's the Kentucky Transitional Assistance Program. It's not quite the same amount. It kind of varies depending on how many children that you have, but that is one of the other primary things that are out there for them. And there might be child care assistance and some other things. And so I always encourage families when they take a child in, if they don't get a lot of information, to, you know, reach out to the Kinship Coalition. We will help you get connected with the right resources, or go back to a hotline that the cabinet has, the Cabinet for Health and Family Services, and you can ask more questions there as well, which is kind of, it's a really good thing that we have that.
Kathy, we talked before about how the child that you're caring for and raising was just a little baby, just 5 months old roughly when you started. What kind of support were you able to get to kind of help you and all that?
In the beginning, nothing. I kind of did it all on my own. They do provide vouchers of some sort, far as because I wasn't receiving WIC or any of those programs yet. So it took me a few months before things got on the ball, but it started to work out pretty much. But they do provide vouchers here. The county does. And eventually I did get on, was able to get on WIC, which she'll have until she's almost six. And then they do the kinship stipend, but I had to wait like the 6 months before I was able to get it.
Yeah. We did get an email from Nancy. Nancy lives in Kentucky and writes, if there's a lack of support for kinship caregivers, it reflects a broader problem with our economy and culture, which is the decline of extended families, sometimes as a result of deliberate policy choices. Her email goes into a lot more. She's saying that extended families can be a big help. She wishes that were a resource that people could use a little more often. She said this is not to say let grandparents babysit, a simplistic and dismissive prescription, but just to recognize that the stereotypical mom, pop, and kids image is inaccurate and unrealistic. We're going to have to take a quick break. We will continue our conversation after that. And later in the program, we'll remember the art and music of Jay Bolotin. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about kinship care, the support families need, and the resources that Ohio and Kentucky do, and in some cases do not, provide for them. My guests are the Buckeye Ranch Foster Care Director, Jessica Thompson, Kathy, a kinship caregiver in Ohio, and Kinship Families Coalition of Kentucky President, Norma Hatfield, who is also raising two of her grandchildren. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk at wvxu.com. kentuckylawmakers.org. Norma, we referenced this briefly before the break, but Kentucky lawmakers passed a bill that, as I understand it, was supposed to allow for more support for kinship caregivers in Kentucky. Tell us what it's supposed to do and how it's stalled.
Yeah. So I early January of this year, I met with Senator Julie Rocky Adams, and I talked to her about a situation that was happening around the election process or the placement process. When children are first initially placed with a caregiver, they're given a form, and you have a couple of options on there. And what had typically been happening is they were selecting temporary custody. And what we were trying to do is say, hey, we saw a report that Department of Community-Based Services sent out, and this report said that more than half the children that were in kinship care were in temporary custody instead of electing the kinship foster option. And so we used that data, and then I shared some stories of caregivers that said, you know, I'm in fight or flight. You've got my grandson right in front of me. You're telling me he's in a home with drugs. I'm terrified. I'm in shock. And you're handing this form to me, and all I hear is that you can have the child right now in temporary custody, or they can go in state's custody. And they weren't hearing the rest of the information, or they weren't given the information. There was some kind of communication gap. And so a lot of caregivers had come to me and said, you know, had I really known this and had some time to figure out what life was going to be like when I took the child or children, I would have taken the kinship foster. And so when I met with Senator Rocky Adams, I said, you know, there's this form. We need to change this. We need to give people some more time. So she did Senate Bill 151. This bill did three things. The first thing that it did was it gave a child a voice. It required social workers to ask a child, if they were able to communicate well, to ask the child, where would you like to go? The second part of this bill was to give a caregiver more time to make that final decision, because once you check the box, you can't undo it. And so when they were checking temporary custody, they were waiving permanently long-term resources for the child. And so it was give people more time to understand what kind of care the child's going to need, you know, the demands that are going to be put upon you and what life is going to look like. And so the bill said you get up to 120 days. And then the third part was that there's an understanding that there might be life qualifying circumstances down the road, a death of a spouse. You know, that's your help right there. You know, you may lose your job. A lot of caregivers find, especially if you have a child that's born addicted to drugs, they often, those children require 24/7 care, and they were losing their jobs. So that life qualifying event was to give a little more, you know, come back and say, hey, my life circumstances have changed. I don't want the child to go into traditional foster care, but I need more help. So this bill, it went through two committees, and it was unanimous, legislative committees. It went to both the House and Senate floor. It was unanimous, and it was signed by our governor, I believe, on April 5th of this past year. Now, there apparently had been some discussions with the legislators and the cabinet for Health and Family Services, but I didn't find out that nothing was happening until a hearing in June. And at that time, Senator Rocky Adams asked the question, hey, I haven't seen any regulations on this. I don't know what's going on. Can you give us an update? And then that's when the cabinet came back and said, there are no funds. There's a $20 million price tag. And because you didn't allocate the funding for this, there's a precedent, legal precedent out there that says we don't have to do it. Now, I'm paraphrasing, of course.
Sure.
But since then, we've been stalled. Mm-hmm. And I'm at a point now, I have reached out to organizations in Washington, D.C. I have done one proposal that I sent forward, then met with the cabinet secretary. And then recently, I believe on November 5th, this organization in Washington, D.C., Generations United, working with the American Bar Association, they provided a list of all the different ways there would be federal funds to do this bill. Now, I haven't heard anything. I actually was sending an email this morning at the status of it. But at this point, things are still the way they've been.
Oh, that's so frustrating.
Yeah, families need time to process their decisions.
And Jess, you mentioned that Ohio's been trying to encourage more kinship care providers to become licensed like foster parents. How's that going? Are people jumping on that, or is there some reluctance there?
Yeah, so I think we have seen an increase for sure, the number of youth that are in custody and placed with kin has been increasing, but there's still more work to do to get the word out. And also there are some barriers. There are people who are reluctant to engage with the child welfare system. Either they've had experiences in their family and they were negative, or they just don't trust that institution or the system. And there are a lot of checks and balances. I know when people become licensed, they're like, oh my gosh, you need all of these things. There's lots of paperwork and a lot of background checks involved. And it is a time commitment for sure.
Well, and I've talked to people in the past who also feel like some of that can feel intrusive, but all of that is really about the safety of the children, isn't it, Jessica? I mean, is that the point of all that?
Yes. So we try to be upfront and say, yes, we're going to be a little bit intrusive, but it is for the safety of the children. And we also try to balance that with support and making sure that people are getting that step-by-step support along the way. We also have our Ohio CAN program. So we've been talking about the resources and connecting people to the resources so they know what's available, because it is complex. And so that's a statewide program available to anyone who is a kinship care provider, informal or formalized. And so that's a really important resource for people in Ohio to know about.
Yeah. Kathy, I understand that the child that was a little baby when you took custody as a kinship provider, you've had that child for, I guess, about 4 years now. In all that you've learned doing what you do for that child, what more would you like to see policymakers in Ohio do to support families like yours?
Ohio CAN is a big resource, and I've used them more recently, but I wish I would have known in the beginning. Support. We need a lot of support. We don't get a lot of that. It's not very helpful. Caseworkers aren't helpful, especially when you get a baby and they throw them in your lap and they walk out the door. Because at the end of the day, they go home and they go home to their families. You are learning a baby that doesn't belong to you, that knows nothing about you. You know nothing about them. And it's all new to you all. So support is a big thing for me. I think I'm going to go ahead and become a foster parent, because right now I'm just kinship. But I absolutely enjoy the fact of children being in my home. I just think that it's not enough resources for people in Ohio that are kinship providers. I'm not only, you know, I have a few friends that are also kinship providers, and they say this, that we talk about this all the time, us not having enough resources, us struggling to get the benefits for the kids. It's very hard. It's not easy. Like, we don't get what people think that we get, like they jump and give us this and that. No. We have to work for it as well. Mm. We have to go down in the trenches and dig and try to find what we can help these children with. Wow. Some of them come with lifelong issues.
Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt. I know I really appreciate your thoughts. I've been talking with Kinship Families Coalition of Kentucky President Norma Hatfield, the Buckeye Ranch Foster Care Director Jessica Thompson, and Kathy, a kinship caregiver in Ohio. Thank you all so much for your time today. Stay with us. This is Cincinnati Edition.